Back in the summertime, we were all talking about the weather. How cold it was, how wet it was, how difficult it was to get the silage brought in. And we were wondering back then if there was ever going to be a harvest at all, because things weren't really growing well. Over these past few weeks, we've also been talking about the weather. How good it's been, how nice it's been, how mild it's been, how calm it's been. The barley is nearly all cut, the potatoes are well dug, the cattle are still out in the fields, and it's rejoiced the heart of farmer and non-farmer alike. We're very grateful for a harvest that's safely gathered in. And today we come together in church to celebrate a plentiful harvest. God has yet again provided for both man and beast. And all of God's mercies are meant to supply us with directions for our future. We read together today part of Moses' great farewell discourse to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And if you want to open your Bibles at that chapter, you'll see where we're going. Remember, the children of Israel were crossing over the Jordan into the promised land. Moses wasn't allowed to go. He was going up Mount Nebo to die. And this whole book is his final speech to them. And in that chapter that we read together, Moses is arguing God's mercies to you in the past supply you with directions for the present and the future. There are four lessons that I want us to reflect upon this morning. Number one, we are to walk in God's ways. We are to walk in God's ways. Verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. God had led them 40 years in the wilderness. God had given them, miraculously, both food and water. He had preserved them, except for those who sinned. And these past mercies from the hand of God meant that in the future, they should walk in God's ways. Now, I'm arguing this morning that all of us here today have likewise enjoyed the mercies of our God. We've been given life and health and happiness and a harvest, provision for all our physical and material needs. And let's be absolutely honest with ourselves. We may not be millionaires, but we in this part of the world enjoy good homes and good food and good fun and good holidays in a way that millions in our world know absolutely nothing about. Isn't that the case? These mercies from the hand of God to us mean that we ought to walk in God's ways. You shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Let me ask you today, are you keeping God's commandments? Or are you simply forgetting all about them, ignoring them, or worse than that, disobeying the commands of the God who made you and who sustains you and who's given you food to eat and a bed in which to lie. You shall walk in his ways. Again, verse 6. Are you doing that? Or are you walking in your own way? Or the world's way? Or even worse, the devil's way? Again, verse 6. You shall fear him, fear God. To fear God means that we acknowledge God, honor God, revere God, respect God, be aware of his greatness and his power, and love him and obey him. Do you fear God? Or do you never think about him? Try to forget about him. Never say thank you to him. Never worship him. And certainly don't obey him. My friends, all the good things that God gives us, and he gives us many, are meant to remind us of himself. And we are to love him and honor him and obey him and worship him. Isn't that what Moses says in verse 10? When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God. You shall praise the Lord your God. My friends, we have eaten, we are full, we are to bless the Lord our God. Do you do that individually, personally? We are to walk in God's ways. Second lesson, we are never to forget God. Isn't that the great danger we all face? Whenever we get on well and things go well for us, we're healthy, we're happy, we're full, and everybody in our family is well too. We have enough money to keep us going and a bit more for luxuries. There's a great danger in prosperity, and it is simply this: forgetting God. Look at what Moses says in verse 11. Beware that you do not forget your Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God. Moses warns his people of the danger of forgetting God when they do well and prosper. Sadly, they didn't remember his warning. And often, whenever they prospered, they forgot God. And that danger, I fear, is still with us today. I can think of a man I know. He went into business. And if you judge by money and wealth and houses and cars and all that he has done very well. The world would say he's a very successful man. But I fear he's forgotten about God. And while he may have much in the banks of this world, he has very little in the bank of heaven, if anything at all. My friends, don't let prosperity and wealth and success and power make you forget about God. That is a terribly dangerous position to be in. Financially rich, but spiritually poor. Remember that haunting question posed by our Lord Jesus Christ. What shall it profit a man though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We must never forget God. Third lesson. We are to remember we depend upon God. Look at verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. That great principle was true for men and women in Moses' day, and it's still true for us today in this 21st century. With all of our modern machinery, with all the advances in technology, if God doesn't give us a harvest and the weather to gather in the harvest, well, it'll not be gathered in. We all need God. We all depend upon God because it's God who gives us life and health and happiness and freedom, and food, and the ability to walk about and do our work and sow our seed and gather in our harvest. It is God who gives us power to get wealth. I remember a man I knew in one of my first congregations. He was a farmer, and a very good farmer, and a very successful farmer. He thought nothing of traveling to the ends of the earth to buy a pedigree cow. But he took on well, seriously on well. And one day he told me what he had said to his consultant in Belfast. Can you tell me of any doctor anywhere in the world who can do anything for me? Money is not a problem. The doctor had to say to him, I can't. And his illness continued, and he died, and I conducted his funeral. My friends, we are to remember we are dependent upon God, because it is God who makes the sun to shine and the rains to fall and the crops to grow. Without the merciful hand of God giving us the changing seasons, the land would be barren. And without his merciful providences and kindnesses to us, our lives would be a total misery. And also, without his provision for the salvation of our souls in Christ, we will be lost and lost forever. But the God of heaven is good to all of us. He's kind to all of us. He gives us food for our bodies, and he gives us a wonderful, wonderful salvation for our souls in Christ. A salvation that will provide for the needs of those souls, not only in time, but for all of eternity. And it's available to us in Christ. It's something that's offered to us freely. It's the only free gift that there is. And it's something that wholly satisfies our soul. Men and women, take God's gift of salvation for your soul. Because you can't manufacture a better one yourself. No man-made salvation will bring your soul to heaven. But then, why should we try to build a road to heaven when God has already built a motorway to bring us there? The fourth lesson, we are to dread the danger of perishing. Look at verses 19 and 20. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, surely these are very solemn words from this mighty man of God. But he had to be faithful to his God, and he had to be faithful to the souls of his people, as well as telling them of future bliss if they loved the Lord and followed him and obeyed him. He had to tell them of future danger if they failed so to do. And Moses spoke to his people plainly because he loved their souls and he wanted the very best for them. He had their highest good at heart. But it's to be greatly feared that many of the children of Israel forgot these words of their greatest prophet. And they forgot their God. They made themselves other gods and they worshiped them and they perished, both physically and spiritually. My friends, we are to listen to these words. We're to take them to heart. We're to dread the danger of forgetting about God and perishing. Isn't it terrible whenever you hear of someone who perishes physically? Isn't it worse by far whenever you know of someone who perishes spiritually? And that for all eternity. But there is no need to perish. God has given us an abundant harvest. He has supplied plentiful provision for our physical and material needs. And we'll eat our food, and we'll enjoy our food, and rightly so, because that's what God intends. That's the reason why he has given it to us. God has also made a plentiful provision for the needs of our souls. He has given us Christ, and in Christ he's given us a full and satisfactory salvation. And to everyone who takes Christ as Savior and Lord, they will be given forgiveness of sins, all their sins. They will get pardon for their past. They will get peace with God in the present. They will get strength to live for God. They will have joy in believing. And in the end, they will have heaven for all eternity. God wants us to take Jesus Christ, to know Jesus Christ, to believe in Jesus Christ, to have his full salvation in Christ. Take Christ. Trust Christ, know Christ, and if you do, you will never, never perish. Never. the mercies of God to us in the past, supply us with directions for our present and our future. And all of us have enjoyed the mercies of God for both body and soul. Therefore, we are to walk in God's ways. We are never to forget God. We are to remember we depend upon God. And we are to dread the danger of perishing. God, help us to take these directions to heart, to put them into practice, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, to walk hand in hand with Him in His ways, to enjoy Him now and enjoy Him forever. May He give us the humility and the wisdom and the courage so to do. Let's pray together. Oh God, we want to say thank you for all the generous provision that you have made for the needs of both our bodies and our souls. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gospel of the grace of God. We bless you for your love for the unworthy and the undeserving. And we thank you that in Christ you make us totally new. Lord, help us to appreciate all that you've done for our bodies. And help us to appreciate all that you've done for our soul. As we eat our daily food, so help us to take Christ and trust Him and live for Him and experience the joy of your salvation. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen.